Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Strong Municipal Libraries Podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And this is part two of our Twilight Midnight Sun duo.
Yeah.
Today we have Lisa and Laura, and they're going to talk about Midnight Sun, because did you guys read it, like, right when it came out?
Actually, I did. So I was one of those people that read when it got leaked.
Oh, shame on you, Lisa.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so back in 2008, when she actually was writing it, it got leaked, and at first I was like, oh no, that's terrible, you know.
Lisa
went ahead and downloaded and read it. And the thing was, I was 35 years old back then. So
don't do math.
Yeah. So Midnight Sun mirrors Twilight, pretty much, you know, and this book is Edward's point of view. So anybody that loved Twilight, I would guess they would love Midnight Sun, but it is different. You know, with Twilight, it's all about Bella and her, you know, meeting Edward. And in Midnight Sun, it's about Edward and all the things he went through to meet Bella, I guess. So it was the same but different. So
now, I know you read it right when it was leaked. Did you also reread it once it was actually published?
Yes.
Okay. And were there very many differences?
No. Like I said, it's just mirroring Twilight. And on this one, Edward is more, you know, you read his thoughts, because he can only read, I mean, he reads everybody's thoughts except Bella's. Mm-hmm. And on Twilight, you know, it's like, I don't know what he's saying or whatever. But on this book, it's when, like, Mike had the crush on Bella. Edward can read his mind and the thoughts that he has towards Bella, you know. So, and then Jessica, when she talks about Bella, he can read it. And the funny part was the secretary at Fort High School. And when he went in there, she was like, you know, she's looks at him like, oh, he's, you know, beautiful, whatever. And she's like, too young. You know, as he can read those. So I thought that was funny.
What about you, Laura?
I heard about the leak, but I didn't read it until it was actually published.
Oh, okay.
And how old were you?
Okay, so when the first book came out, it was a month before my 10th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And then the movie came out 3 days before my 13th birthday. So basically every time a movie came out, that was kind of like my birthday present.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, and then I read the book as a 13-year-old because I asked my parents to buy me the paperback edition as my birthday present. So I actually had the one where it was like Bella and Edward in the cover, not the...
Oh, like from the movie. Yeah.
The movie one. And then the only reason I even decided to read this series is kind of embarrassing. It's because I overheard my best friend and the guy like talking about it. And I was like, oh, so he's reading it. Let me read it. So, and of course, you know, I was at an age where I thought any love story, regardless of its strangeness, was kind of romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this meant that when my crush broke my heart, New Moon was the book I turned to because I felt Bella's pain.
Aww.
And then, of course, it continued to captivate me until Breaking Dawn Part 2 came out. And then after that, it was like, okay, the movie came out. You know, it's time to move on. I have other things to worry about, like college.
What made you decide to pick up Midnight Sun then when it came out?
Well, I was curious. You know, we just keep hearing that, oh, this is Edward's point of view. And of course, you know, when, like you said, when we read Twilight, it's just from Bella's point of view. So it's like, what makes it so different? And, you know, Edward being Edward in love, I figured why not see what his thoughts are?
Yeah, in this book, you really see Edward's stalking capabilities. He's stalking her. And one of my favorite parts of the book was when Bella comes to school, the school for the first time, and she's coming into the class and the fan is going, and so her hair moves, he can smell her, and he has to like hold on to the desk. Because in his thoughts, he's thinking, I'm going to have to kill everybody in here so that I can get to her. You know, and Twilight, you don't really see that. You just see him, like, he can't handle it.
Looking constipated.
Exactly. But I thought that was just so funny. He's like, no, I can't do that, you know, so.
I mean, so did this book make you like him more, like their relationship more, less? What did you leave thinking differently from the first book series?
Well, being much older now, I'm like, this dude has some issues.
This dude needs therapy.
The first time, I mean, I was 35 when I read the leaked version, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, okay, like I said, his stalking capabilities, I'm like, this vampire is just like seriously stalking her. And it's just, she'll be asleep and he's there. You know, you can't hear when he came in, you know? But I just feel like now, I'm like, had I been younger and read it, I don't know if I would have felt like, oh my God, he's so romantic, or he, you know what I mean? But my mind now, I'm like, no, this guy has some issues. I
think he needs a hobby.
Run away.
Laura, did you feel differently? Because you initially discovered it when you were, you know, that targeted age group. And then mm-hmm. now you've read Midnight Sun as an adult. Like, mm-hmm. Did your perspective on it change?
It did. Like Lisa said, the stalking, it's kind of unnerving now that you think about it. It's like, can you imagine someone just stalks you like that?
Yeah,
that's very creepy. And then if you think about it, like he's saying, she's 17-year-old dating a 100-year-old guy. It's like, yeah, he thinks differently, but still, that's like dating your great grandpa. But yeah, and I reread it and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why did I think this was like so romantic back then? It's kind of frustrating. And then the fact that he goes all the way like to the next town looking for her and he's just always trying to save her. It's like, girl, get your shit together. Like, I don't know. She just seems so, I don't, what's the word?
Helpless?
Yes. Like, even then, yeah, he makes it sound like she's really smart, but at the same time, it's like, she can't do anything right. She somehow runs into vampires more, and then those weird guys that were drunk and were trying to
get her on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But two, his thoughts about her and why he was so fascinated with her, other than her blood smelled so delicious. He always thought, you know, oh, she wants to take care of everybody and she wants to do the right thing and she'll put her life in danger for people. And I don't think that really happened.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't see that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you love her, you know? But yeah, so that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Does it feel like that is something that the author was trying to put into Bella and just maybe didn't express it? Or did it feel like that was just the author's excuse for the reason this vampire was in love with her?
I don't know. I don't think Stephanie meant to have it like that, mm-hmm. you know? I think he was just too fixated on her.
Yeah.
You know, that he didn't see any faults.
Oh, okay.
So something that came up in our other interview, both Sabrina and Michaela were talking about how there were moments where Edward just seemed to have this disdain toward Bella, you know, like almost treating her like she was a little bit inferior or, you know, like a father figure. Do you see that as much in the perspective that you get through Midnight Sun?
Kind of like condescending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, moments where he sneered at her and stuff like that.
It does come out in Midnight Sun the way he is towards her, you know, and that's where I go back where he says, you know, why he just loves her so much, because he wants to protect her. And I think it's like, I don't know if it has to do with her blood, but, and he's like that in Twilight as well, the protection where he feels he has to do that. You know what I mean? And I wish he would have backed off a little bit.
The way you're talking about it makes it sound like, hey, I found this super rare, delicious snack, and I'm going to protect it from everybody else.
Yes. No, and all that's the way it comes out.
Yeah. All these people want to take my snack.
Yes, and that's the right thing. I don't know what it is about her blood where he mentions, you know, it, because towards the end of Twilight where she gets bit by James, is mm-hmm. it good? You know, he has to suck the venom out because she'll turn into a vampire, and he didn't want that for her. So after he does, he says, oh, it's the most delicious thing I've ever had, you know, and I'm just like, ooh, first of all, gross. You know? But I don't know what it was about her and why he couldn't read her mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing. And I think that's what all the other vampires felt about her, why we can't read her mind. What's so special
about
her?
That is weird. I feel like they don't ever talk about that, do they?
No, and the thing
like
is,
why she smells extra good and why she's like immune to vampire powers.
Exactly. You know, I would like to know.
Yeah, that's like, you can't put that little nugget in there and not explain.
So Laura, I know you have thoughts. In fact, you brought notes. So
we love people who bring notes.
I have a card.
You have a note card. That's good.
Well, I mean, my first impression of it was, like, I expected something thin, like 300, maybe 400 pages. And then when I got the hold, I look and it's this giant, thick book. And I'm thinking, holy crap.
Isn't it like 680 pages?
658.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 658 pages.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And usually I read, like, 2 to 3 books per week. And this time it took me more than a week to get to this one. And there were times where I just wanted to throw the book. And it's like, Edward, you're killing me. Why do you have to? I mean, yes, I get, you know, you're telling us your whole life story. But it's like, get to the point already. especially when he's just looking at Bella and his thoughts are just rambling.
Do you get any glimpses into his past, like his previous life before Forks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that interesting?
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, you always assume that he always stayed with the Cullen family, and then you realize that, oh no, he had this like little fling that he goes off and wanders and, you know, decides to be a rebel, and then he realizes, oh, this isn't the life for me. Let me come back.
And it goes into how they all met.
Yeah.
You know, how Carlisle, the dad, turned and how the rest of the family. So mm-hmm. that was kind of cool to read.
Yeah. Now, was Edward not a vegan at some point? Or was he always a vampire vegan?
It was during that rebellious period when he...
Oh, yeah. He decided to...
But he had this thought, though, where he wasn't necessarily just killing everybody. It's like, I'm only killing the bad people.
Yeah.
So he would kill murderers and people who were thinking of killing other people. He's like, let me just save them.
So he uses his little...
Yeah, vigilante.
Yeah, he uses his little mind-reading power to figure out who should go. Remind me never to think bad thoughts. Just in case.
But at the end of the day, I will always be Team Edward.
You don't want one about Jacob's perspective?
No, probably not. I like Jacob, but no, I'm always going to be Team Edward.
Did you get any of Edward's insights on Jacob in this book?
Towards the end.
Towards the end, yeah. Because Edward and Bella didn't have their first kiss till like page 300 and something. Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of staring before that.
Yeah, so a lot didn't happen with Jacob towards the end, so.
Okay.
He was more like, oh, look, it's endearing, another guy that has a crush on Bella.
Yeah.
There's piles of them in Forks.
Yes, I mean, she was a new shiny toy.
I like that. She was a new shiny toy.
Didn't she describe herself like that in Twilight or something like that? No, Jessica wasn't the one.
Jessica, yeah. I thought Jessica's character was Anna Hendricks. She was funny because you can tell the dislike for Bella in the beginning. She was so jealous of her, you know, because Mike, which Jessica liked Mike, but Mike liked Bella, you know, so her character was funny.
Did you learn anything interesting about any of the rest of the family that you want to share?
Or how Edward feels about them?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they all have different ones they like better, maybe.
I mean, it's really hard to live with the same people for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah. They do go into Carlisle, the dad, and I want to say, I don't remember if...
They talked about how Rosalie found Emmett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And then that Rosalie and Edward never really got along. Because they were, you know, they were kind of forced to be together, but they weren't compatible. And then, of course, that Alice found them. And that Esme has always been just this nurturing soul that it was always meant to be with her and Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. I think their family just meshes so well. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, they're different, different powers. Jasper just freaks me out. You know, he just always looks like he's scared or something.
It's especially funny because I had a family dog, not my family, but an uncle named Jasper, and it was one of those really tiny, like, dogs that was just, like, really aggressive, but also, like, scared of everything. Oh. I feel like it works.
And, yep, it fits.
Jasper, stop barking!
I think, too, what was interesting was, you know, just when he talks about Alice, how Alice is always onto the latest fashions, like, she always knows what companies to invest in because... You know, she can see the future. And so imagine having someone like that. Like, they can tell you, like, who's going to win the World Series and all that.
Who to bet on.
Honestly, would you bet against the Astros, though, Lisa?
Absolutely not.
There you go. Even if someone told her, she'd be like, no, it could still happen.
It's 2020 thing, you know.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
Now, speaking of baseball, that was this time around reading it, the baseball scene was the one that it's popped out to me.
Oh, really? Yes. What made it more interesting this time around?
It was just the fact that you have, again, you have the mind reader, and then you have the guy who can read people's thoughts, and so they kind of ruin baseball for themselves, but the other ones don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and so ones don't know.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, imagine if, like, vampires were real, well, these kind of vampires were real, and then you have the world, they're in the World Series, and then, you know, just imagine how those games would be.
Yeah.
For one, I think you would need to have, like, a national park for them to play.
No fans.
No fans. Nope. Can't get too close. No.
And I can only play when it's thundering.
During
hurricane season.
So the last 3 months, 4 months. Did you get any idea of, like, vampire politics? Because I know that doesn't really come up until the later books in the Twilight series. But do they ever really talk about, like, the Volturi? Yes. Do they ever talk about them or kind of their relationship as, like, the vegan vampire outcasts?
They mentioned the Volturi when they're talking about Carlisle's past. Because Carlisle briefly hung out with them.
Yeah,
that's when he realized that that wasn't the lifestyle he wanted for himself. Yeah. So he walked away.
Okay.
But there's always, you know, the undercurrent that you can't let anybody see your real nature. You always have to try to blend in as best as you can. And of course, you know, if they come along with not vegan vampires, then they obviously feel like the outcast. Then, of course, it's noticeable through their eyes. But
yeah. So one thing that always stood out to me from Twilight was that we had Edward going to high school over and over and over again.
Forever.
Which to me would basically be hell.
Yeah, but, can't go to college.
Did you get, like, his perspective, what he's actually gaining from going
to school all the time? He actually has two doctor degrees, but in the book, I think he does say, you know, that he's tired of it pretty much, you know.
Like, I imagine it depends on where they're living, what school,
like,
he can go to.
In Twilight where they have all the caps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like a joke to them, you know, because every year they're graduating.
Yeah.
Though it was interesting. I recall whenever he's discussing that he says that Rosalie is the one that enjoys that because she gets to marry Emmett over and over again, and every time it's like a giant wedding. But yeah, she seems to be the only one that enjoys that.
But it does make sense if you're moving to a new place to start in high school, because they just think you look kind of like an older high school student. But then you can, like, live it out a few more years than if you had started just, like, as a 20-something-year-old. You know, people will believe that you were looking the same for 10 years.
Well, Carlisle does run into one of his old colleagues, and then the guy's thinking, oh, this guy must get plastic surgery. Because he just looks so good.
He looks exactly the same.
Yeah. And of course, the colleague is, like, getting older, and Carlisle just stays the same.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any other big takeaways from the book? If there was another book in the series, would you read it? If they did the same thing with New Moon, Breaking Dawn?
The next one.
Okay, good.
New Moon would be interesting because they spent the entire book
apart, so you would get to see what Edward was up to
doing that whole year.
Standing in the shadows. I would be excited reading that, you know, because not stalking her is the big issue. And I think seeing how Edward was living, because you know, when she goes and finds him, he's just, like, destroyed.
A mess.
I think that would be an awesome book if she did that.
Or even one from Jacob's perspective, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I wonder if Jacob's perspective would feel immature, because isn't he, like, a year younger than Bella, too?
Mm-hmm.
He always had kind of a puppyish personality. Like, you know, I always had a soft spot for Jacob. Yeah. He did have
But we would get more on the story of the werewolves,
which would be cool.
Yeah, I would say a Jacob story would be interesting if it led to more, if it was less, like, following Bella around and being like, oh, she's so pretty, and more, like, being introduced, because he doesn't know about it at first, right?
Yeah,
and
he dismissed it as legends whenever they were at the beach. Like, he tells her, oh, this is something my elders have always said, but I don't believe it.
So it would be interesting seeing someone, like, thinking this was just a story and then being confronted with it and having to, like, completely change your way of life and who you spend time with. And it would be nice, kind of like a baby vampire, werewolf.
What was Edward doing in all this time that he was stalking Bella? Just fixating on her and thinking about how yummy she smelled?
Pretty much. And I mean, it's like every time she was asleep, he'd find his way in her room.
Yeah.
Did it make you snacky? Did this book make you think, like,
And he would, you know, that's the thing. Seeing it that way, you're just like, man, you gotta calm down. You know? She must be a heavy sleeper, because any little noise I hear, I wake up, you know? And
you haven't been stalked by a vampire yet.
No, I mean, he tried to also get to know her because, you know, he can't read her mind, and she's this new shiny toy. And it's like, oh my gosh. And I think that's also part of the problem, that because he can't read her mind, then he's thinking, oh my goodness, I want to know now more about this individual.
What is she doing?
Yeah, it's like, why can't I read it? And so eventually he somehow falls in love with her and wants to know everything about her, especially he seems to really dislike her mom.
Weird.
Yeah. And I think too, that's why he always looks so frustrated, because
He's just angrily glaring at her trying to make his brain work.
And I think it's because he can't read her mind like he can everyone else, you know. And
so at what point did it cross from this weird fixation, like almost treating her like she's a puzzle, to actually starting to fall in love. Do you kind of see like a distinct turning point there?
I think when she tries to kiss him, you know, he kind of pushes her away, and he thinks, oh God, I ripped her hands off, is what he's thinking. But I think at that point, he was like, okay, she tried to kiss me. That means she's having some feelings. And I think he started having feelings. And this was like probably middle of the book.
Okay.
You know, so
after a whole bunch of stalking.
But yeah. Technically, he kind of knew it was going to happen because Alice told him, like, this is the future that I see with her. And then his family was like, you're acting different. Something's going on. We think you're going to fall in love with her. And of course, he's trying to deny it. It's like, nope, that's not going to happen to me. I'm the forever alone type of person. I'm never, or vampire.
And that's the thing. He always thought that. He was going to be alone, you know, never find that. And I think maybe, I don't know, had to do with her blood again. You know?
If it works for the werewolves, it works for the vampires. Why not?
But it also makes me wonder if he falls out of love with her once she does turn into a vampire in Breaking Dawn.
Oh, no. She's just different now. I don't worry about ripping her hands off, and it just, the excitement's gone.
No, I don't think that will happen. He really does love her.
Lisa's like, stop it. So... It does sound like an interesting new perspective on Twilight, especially if it was a book that had you in its grasp when it came out. Maybe a little too MMA for me, if you're constantly like, oh, I'm gonna murder her. Oh, no, I'm not. I love her. That might be a little too rough for my gentle soul.
Did you get any new perspectives on Bella at all? Like, because in Twilight,
hobbies,
she just seems so klutzy. In a constant state of surprise.
Like, yeah, she's like,
what's happening?
Stumbles into things.
Yeah, I guess. Well, even in this book, it's just Bella. You know? It's just, yeah.
She's very clumsy still.
Yeah.
So but she apparently is very smart. Like, the books she's reading, there's some that I have never even heard of. And she rereads Jane Austen over and over again. And she really apparently is very smart, which I didn't.
Did not get from the.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Yeah, like, either. I always thought she was dumb and clumsy. And apparently she's not.
Don't let Edward hear you say that.
Well, that's the thing, though, that it's... I think that kind of serves as a reminder that when you like someone, you notice everything good about them. And then once you get over them, you realize, wait, what? I thought they were smart. I thought they were beautiful. What? That's when it's kind of like, for him, Bella's just amazing. She's everything because he's in love with her.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, I don't have any more questions.
Did you guys have any closing remarks that you wanted to make about it?
Suggestions on whether or not someone should read this if they were Twilight fans?
I mean, I think, yeah, if you're a Twilight fan, I would definitely read the book, you know, because like I said, it's a different point of view from Edward's point of view. And he's, even though he's stalkerish, it's a good book. You know, it takes you back to the Twilight era, which was, what, 2005?
Yes.
When it came out. So, you know, going back and just seeing the different things, his strength, you know, because he's always breaking stuff in this book.
Always breaking stuff.
Because, you know, the smell and, you know, just anything Bella. So I would definitely suggest, you know, hey,
yeah,
pick up this book and read it.
What I wish I'd done was read Twilight, then read that one, then read New Moon, and then Eclipse, and then Breaking Dawn. Because I forgot most of the stuff that was going on. Like, it was kind of neat to
me. Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking, wait, what? Did this really happen in Twilight? So I wish I had done it like that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
All right. Well, okay. There you have it. You even have a suggested reading order.
That's
you
right.
You decide to do that.
All of them available at your local library.
Thank you so much for joining us with what I think will be a very enticing episode for all of our listeners.
And excitingly, we may or may not also have another different vampire review coming out after this.
Yes. So we are making October mostly about vampires.
Yeah, why not?
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.